I said, well, if you want to give a credit, I said, we'll take credit for it. I said, but really, it's just...
Mission Europe.
All right.
There's like major plans, like the next year or the next year or two.
The growth stuff.
Horizons.
Yep. Okay, Daryl, we're broadcasting. All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting for a work session today. It's Friday, January 24th, a little after 2 o'clock. It's for a work session on case numbers PU-12-813, PU-13-194, 195, 706, 707, 708, 742, and 743. Specifically today, I was hoping we could talk a little bit about the hearing we had yesterday on the settlement agreement. We had an informal a while back, so it's not like I think we didn't have a chance to review this, but I just wanted to quickly get some feedback from my colleagues, and we'll see if we can get a consensus going forward in one way or the other. So with that, I guess I'd open it up to see if Randy has any comments, and then turn it back to Julie. It's your portfolio for the rate case.
Well, I thought yesterday was a productive day, and I have no opening comments, ready to get started.
Okay. Julie, I'll turn it over to you then, let you start it out. And at 3 o'clock, we're done, because we all have other commitments.
well.
Or sooner.
I thought yesterday was productive as well. In particular, in the area on the study alternative. So I'm still where I am at the end of the day. Yesterday, I said that, you know, the fact of the matter is this settlement addresses all of the revenue concerns that were raised during the hearing on the rate increase. The company conceded on all of them. And so the allocation factor is a big deal for all of us and was my biggest concern going, one of my biggest concerns, two big concerns, but one of them was the way that the settlement dealt with the allocation factor. And the multi-year nature of the settlement agreement. I'm still thinking about what's the best interest of the ratepayers on the multi-year issue. I appreciate the direction that this settlement goes on the study. I think the company really yesterday clarified what they had in mind and what they're willing to do on the study, even going so far as having a third party run it, which that was what I was hoping for and would look for outside. I do think it's important to recognize that on that issue, on the allocation factor issue, advocacy staff did pursue that a rate case ago or two ago and dropped it because, and that's basically like a study. I mean, you're paying a third party to look at it and study it. So, and dropped it because they didn't have enough to push it in the hearing. And again, this time, advocacy staff did look at it, which is again like a study. And came to the hearing and changed course. So I think that tells me this isn't an easy issue and it isn't a slam dunk. So in my opinion, we should what we've got here in terms of an outline for moving forward on that issue is reasonable. And I agreed with Mike Diller that my interest in this is trying to find what is North Dakota's appropriate share of the costs. We shouldn't be wanting to, I mean, we want our customers to pay what they owe, not more, not less. That's the best for the company, and that's the best for customers. So that would be my goal with the study, and if Mike's in charge of it, or at least having an equal role, and we've got a third party involved in it, I think that would be a great outcome for that. And I would be willing to let that run its course and take the time needed to do that well.
Just a quick legal question as Julie talks, because it's important. The settlement agreement, you either reject it or you accept it. You can't pick the parts you like or don't like. right? And if you pick the parts you like and they do another settlement agreement, then you start everything all over again. That's the way I understand it. I'd just be curious if that's the right way.
Yes.
Okay.
I did, though, notice in the last case that there were settlement agreements and then adjustments to settlement agreements and then adjustments to settlement agreements. So the company alluded to being willing and open to making some adjustments. So is it really that cut and dry? Or
absent agreement between the company and advocacy staff and some sort of filed adjustment to it, the commission's left with approving or rejecting the settlement agreement as a whole, as it stands.
Do you have to go back out and then give it the notice period and the potential for hearing?
Notice of opportunity, probably.
I think that may depend on how big a change. Yeah, material change. It's kind of like a rule, proposed rule. If it's a material change, you re-notice it. If it's a tweak, you don't. Mm-hmm. So that would have to be decided once it was filed.
Well, and there's a lot of good things that really are outside of the rate case that we wouldn't get at if we don't take the settlement agreement. I think those are worthy to take into consideration, most specifically the restacking and the giving North Dakota a tool to push the tables in our favor in the future when they're looking at new resource additions. So I think those are two big things that we don't get outside of the settlement. So I'd like to work with the settlement and try to adjust it however we need to, work with the company to get agreement on adjusting it and using it as the framework moving forward.
Okay.
And I have a couple ideas, but
I thought yesterday on a couple of different subjects the company kind of indicated that there was a willingness to tweak the settlement some if that would be helpful in resolving the case. So, you know, to the extent on the one that you were talking about initially with the study, that was one of the cases in point, as I recall. There was a willingness to clarify that it's won't necessarily be a study completely done, you know, with full authority by the company, that they would relinquish some of the leadership of it. I think that would be a very important point in order to give the study credibility. As I said yesterday, I continue to be disappointed that it wasn't done before, but that can't be fixed at this point outside of dragging this on for another 6 months or a year. And so I guess the only thing better than a good study that's done in a timely manner is the one that's done in as close to timely as possible. And so I think if they make clear that they will not be micromanaging that study, I think that that's a good path forward.
Do you not consider the hiring of the consultant to look at the allocation factor and that the study and that was done in preparation for the hearing to be a study that was done for this rate case? I mean, because to the extent that that was done, I do think there was a study of this that we'd be building on.
I do think it was a study. It just wasn't thorough enough because when more details came in during the hearing, it became clear it wasn't thorough enough. And so whether it would be that consultant or some new third party, I guess I don't have a strong opinion on one way or the other. It just can't be, in my mind, something where NSP picks a consultant and then lays out all the guidelines for exactly what they're going to study and everything else and basically picks an endpoint.
Agreed. I agree, too. I think we're all on the same page with that. It sounded like yesterday.
Yeah. I'm holding my thoughts for a little bit longer yet. The things that were talked about, the company agreed to in the study, why can't the commission open up a docket and say this has to be studied for all companies?
Yeah.
You can, right? So is there anything in the study
that... investigation.
Is there anything in the settlement agreement that can't be a commission docket open and say we're going to do this for all of our investor owns? or, I mean, the restack. We could do that under A, same kind of thing, couldn't we?
The one thing that always sticks out in my mind of what the commission probably couldn't order, and that's still subject to briefing in the ADP cases, is probably the requirement of building generation in North Dakota. I could pull it out and probably find more. There are certain things in the settlement that probably couldn't be ordered directly in a rate case, such as the study, you know, the result of this rate case. But right. I know that without, it is subject to briefing, but I'm fairly certain the commission can't order NSP to build thermal generation in North Dakota and certainly not in the case that's at issue right now.
I still think there's so many holes in that you're never going to be able to make them do it. If they want to do it or they don't, in that particular point. That's just my opinion. But I guess to let Randy and Julie know where I'm stuck at is that I like the work the company did on a lot of it, but I don't know. I don't like the settlement agreement. It's so.
What parts of it don't
you
like?
The four-year deal, I don't think I like that. I don't think it's solid rate-making principles. I think I'd just as soon get this rate case behind us, and then as we go into the next one, then let's make these all issues in the beginning of it because we know they're coming right back. But that's, the settlement agreement could be so clean you could be done with it. But I do have concerns that we'd wake up in 2017 and got a heck of a mess. So that's kind of where I just wanted to see where you guys are at and throw that out there because the 12 CP, 1 CP, I think 12 CP is going to hold. And I know they're doing the study. I'm certainly not against that. But I think the more I've dug into this and the different factors out there, I don't want to leap too quick to restack everything and shape the way we do in business when it could turn out worse for North Dakota ratepayers. We don't know that the restacking and everything is going to lower costs. I mean, that's the way I see it. We think it will, but I don't think it's not guaranteed.
So I see the restacking as their attempt to put some meat at.
They're trying to help us do what we think we asked for, or they think we asked for. That's exactly what I think it is.
They're trying to, give us a tool to have more control over our energy mix because we complain a lot about being beholden to Minnesota. So,
but I would say though I've been involved in approving these ADPs, and so when I approve an ADP and it comes back in the rate case, I give it to them. If I don't like it, I don't give them the ADP. And so I view it as we are getting the chance to say it. We said our piece in that ADP about the wind farm. That's why that's all hung up. So that was the point. If we go into this mix, is there even a need for ADPs anymore?
Well, and that was answered. Because there's a lot of them in the mix that are under that the commitment. I don't think the ADP is limited. You could come in for a small one, but I don't think they normally waste the time and effort to come in for a little project. So those are always falling under the radar and going in the fuel adjustment.
The smaller than the 50 megawatts.
Yeah. So, you know, what you're saying isn't untrue. It's just that I think some of them do come in that way, and that's what I think some of the restacking was supposed to address. On the other hand, I mean, the restacking is really like asking them to do a bunch of research, come up with some ideas, but not carving it into stone at this point. It really is like another study project. Mm-hmm. See what it would look like if you happen to have a North Dakota policy generation mix.
I just don't see how that functionally will work.
It's a little odd.
They you're going to build a bunch of stuff, put it in an integrated system. We give them some rate of return, and if they have a wind tower or a solar tower or whatever, it's going to be generating electricity, so we're going to pay for it. How much we pay for it, we can debate in every rate case, but I don't know that. I think that's functional rate principles. They build it, they give them something for it, and we follow down that line. You can't say we want this, we want that, we don't want that. If they build solar in Minnesota, even if we don't like it in North Dakota, but if we benefit from it, we should pay for it. So how would you throw something out like that? Even though I kibitz about it all the time. But it's the reality of that's the way the grid is set up.
You know, it seems to me that there were just a few projects that appeared to be above market and done for political purposes in Minnesota, the seabed projects and a few mm-hmm. things like that that are really driving this, and a finding that those weren't prudent would basically do the same thing as what you're, as this restack thing here is. Anyway, that's what I think is going on. So that's my thoughts on it. The restack is a better way, I think, than a finding of not being prudent.
You think the restack is the better way?
Yeah. It's a way around having to do the nasty finding like that.
Can you go back and find things that, I mean, can you retroactively find something to be not prudent when you've already said it was okay?
Well, I think they entered into those arrangements without ever getting any approvals.
Right.
There's an argument that we've allowed
But they've been in rate cases and stuff many times, some
there's
of these.
There's an argument that we've allowed them through the fuel cost adjustment and so forth for a long time, and therefore, perhaps by default, there's an appeal there. But that's my
As
thought.
Part of your answer to your question, it would depend on what it is, but for instance, even an ADP can be revoked at a later time if at some point it becomes not prudent, but they still get to recover everything up until the time that the prudence is revoked. So you can't go back and collect something that's been determined prudent, but you might be able to say going forward it wasn't prudent, depending on mm-hmm. what the circumstances may be.
And on the fuel adjustment, you know, it's a real interesting thing. We have a rule that says what has to be in it. And we do not approve them. We don't notice them. They come in. They take effect unless challenged. So, no, we haven't challenged them. But whether that's an implication that we have approved them, I think that's a stretch. I mean, I think there's a legitimate argument there that that non-action and non-approval doesn't equal implied approval.
And actually, we stopped approving them for a reason.
Right.
Well, this is an opportunity that I'm with you. But I haven't really been the one complaining a lot about them having to, you know, do all these things for Minnesota and, you know, how we're getting the bad end of the deal. So I feel a little bit odd being the one defending the restack. But after looking into it and hearing how this could work, it seems like an opportunity that's at least worth looking at, because it could get some of these projects that are expensive off the books for our ratepayers. I mean, up as much as $4 million just suggested yesterday, and that's just at the first blush. So I guess to me, why wouldn't we look at it? We can't, like Alana said, we're not obligated to accept it. It's just an exercise, and maybe we decide in the end, no, this is too risky. There's too, you know, it's a bad time to be doing it. There's too much change in the environment. But on the other hand, there's a whole list of, I meant to count them up and how many megawatts they were, but I didn't get that done, of projects that are, you know, of questionable cost for our customers.
I think, you know, there's been dissatisfaction from the commission for probably quite a long time. I know there's been dissatisfaction from some legislators and some industry groups for quite a long time. And, you know, I think there's a chance here to restack two things. One is a good business relationship with NSP, and the other is our generation mix. And, you know, because of some of the complaining, I appreciate that NSP's kind of come in and acknowledge that at least some of the complaints had some legitimacy and is willing to work on this. I don't know that we can come up with a settlement or an order that's going to get down to the smallest of generation sources and figure out exactly what is a perfect mix. But I think this is an opportunity for the company to get it probably better than what it's been in the past. And if we don't do this, and also, like I say, to kind of have a restarting point with the recognition that that their service area is more than just Minnesota, and that that their customers in North Dakota need to be respected in the same way that customers in Minnesota are.
And commissioners, just kind of as a, I don't know, a historical point or something, I know, I mean, I've been doing work for the commission for 4 or 5 years now, and I've been on several NSP cases. And I think in every one of those cases, this issue of, you know, biomass or how they're being driven by Minnesota's policy has come up, you know, whether it be, but our ratepayers will have to pay for that policy. And I guess part of what I heard was, you know, we're tired of this coming up at every hearing, so if we restack it, you know, it may not really change anything, but at least we can stop having that conversation at every hearing that we have, whether it be ADP or a CapEx 2020 line or whatever it is. So, I mean, just... And I know Alana's been on more cases than I have, and I don't know if she agrees with that or not. But
what about the 5550 for you guys?
Well, I looked again at the trade secret worksheets and looked more into the drivers, the capital drivers, and, you know, the total investments that are being made. And it's a little difficult to come up with a number because in one case, the North Dakota capital drivers is kind of, it doesn't get to the revenue requirement. And on the revenue requirement ones, it was total company. So it was hard to get to what the revenue requirements in North Dakota were. But also, I'm not that good at reading these, so maybe there was a way to get to that, and I just missed it. But and then there's also some revenue that they're getting from the DOE money and some of that. But near as I could tell from those charts, the 5% is pretty the meets their needs in both 2013 and 2014 from my read on it in 2015, while their company-wide investments were substantial, it seemed to me like the North Dakota investments, the North Dakota share, dropped off at the same time that O&M costs were, the increase was half as much as it was in the previous years, and at the same time, the renewable energy rider comes on board covering the Board of Winds project, which comes in online that year. So that drew me to two possible alternatives, which would be to do a four-year, which would be 5-5, something less of 5-0, or maybe a two-year, 5-5, as being alternatives to this, this existing proposal. I think it's very, looking at what their projections are, customers are going to have rate increases the next few years. I don't think there's any way around that. So it comes down to me is, do we have a better chance of minimizing those coming every year, or do we have a better chance at minimizing those locking in now for an extended period of time and providing people, big business clients, et cetera, would probably appreciate the rate certainty of knowing this is what I'm going to be facing the next, you know, 3-4 years, even two. So that's where I'm thinking right now on that issue. And I'd probably appreciate some time with staff to look at the trade secret stuff a little more detailed to make sure. I mean, I could be, my conclusions could be off there.
I think, you know, clearly they need revenues if they're going to do the kind of build-out we're talking about here. If they don't do the kind of build-out we're talking about here, we're going to have reliability issues. And so I think it's something that needs to be, starting with the assumption that the dollar amount is right here, which I suppose we'll get into at some point, but to the extent that the dollars of revenue that 5-5, 5-0 produce, and then minus a refund, I think if those are mixed together and divided out evenly over the four-year period, I think is what provides the least pain for the customers and gives the most certainty that it's a slower elevation of the rates. I think most consumers recognize that most of the employees of the utility company are going to get pay raises most every year, and their training costs and everything else are going up, and I think a reasonable rate increase is not liked but understood. But I think the more we can hold that number down and spread it out, I think the less pain it imposes on the ratepayers.
So you'd like to see a excuse me, Julie said a 5.5 something, not 5 and 0. You're saying a, for lack of a better term, a 3.5 for 4 years with a refund, with not refunding back there.
Right.
Okay. What would your thoughts be on that, Jules?
Well, I'd like to look at the 2015 in more detail, okay, and get staff looking at that to see if there isn't, you know, a way to winnow that down, because you've got the two consecutive years that you're building on then, and it's a it's the largest year of revenue. So if there's a way to reduce that amount in 2015, I think we should try to look at that. I'm not opposed to spreading it out over the 4 years, whatever the total revenue amount is. I think that there's some compelling evidence that they don't need it in 2016 because the investment cycle is kind of done. So I like the idea of matching the revenues to the year that they're needed, but I'm open to spreading.
Well, I think one of the things that's good about holding it down the first 3 years and adding the little bit more on the fourth year, we're not really the financiers. They get money from lenders, and so to the extent that some of their costs here are more in the first years, I don't think that's our customers' problem to pay in spurts when there's development going on. Also, I don't know. I guess I was focusing more on the numbers for North Dakota investment, but maybe they have lots more investment somewhere else in 16, and that's why it's less here. So I guess I still maintain that minimizing it but spreading it out evenly is probably the best thing for the customers.
Okay. How about the ROE discussion, the varying ROE?
Can I make one more point on that, though? Absolutely. I think unless we're just going to take a settlement off the table, and even if we come up with our own order, this is something that we sort of need to give some direction on, because I didn't get the impression, as long as the revenues equal what they need for their investment, I got the impression yesterday they were willing to alter this. And so at some point I think they need to know what direction the most of us would like. So I think it's one of the first things that we probably need to conclude what style of a increase it would be if there's going to be one granted.
Outline just a little bit of, just to make sure everybody knows what we're doing under the settlement, what it would be, is that we would be looking at, right now, when we pass this order, giving a slight increase in the rates over the interim rates. So it's not really much of an increase right now. And then we would give...
Not this year.
That's not right.
Right now.
The interim rate's higher than 5%.
But as we look forward into 2014, right now when we decide this, we'd be setting our rates for 2014.
I think what Jerry's saying, the interim rate, I think, is something like 8-point-something.
So
what Jerry's saying is that would result in a refund in 2013 or something, but anyway, it'd be 5% increase in 2013, and then 5% on that, which equals out to about what the interim rate is.
2014. Right. So we give them a little bit of an increase and a bill credit right now of $20, roughly. So.
But not right now. It wouldn't take effect till next year, the increase.
No, this increase would go into effect right now.
Oh, because we're in 2014. Okay. Got it.
So what we're really looking at right now, over the rates they're paying right now, an increase of maybe 2%.
If we did a 5, 5, 5, and 0, if we spread it over 4 years, it probably wouldn't go up at all.
And then at the end of this year, 1st of January next year, they'd get a 5% increase. And then we're done.
If we accept the 5, 5, 5, 0.
Yeah.
What if we go back completely the other way, the settlement agreement's done, and we just approve the 9.25%? How does that play out?
We get an order out and the rates become effective maybe in a couple more months from now. And they start working on their case. And
next year, sure.
Yeah, and it comes in. And so then we have another rate increase that's probably taking effect in term rates for that one. This summer sometime, and I think the customers are probably paying more than the 2% more during this, when those interim rates go into effect, and then...
Because this has taken so long now.
And then we'll go through the process in that case, and decide a final number and go on. And
okay. you have any thoughts on the 5, 5, 5 or the 2, 2, 2 or the whatever we decide there?
No, I think I've...
You've made your piece, okay.
Yeah, what about you?
Still thinking here. How about the ROE discussion, the raising ROE? Any questions or thoughts about that? Against it, for it?
Could I suggest that it doesn't really matter?
Right, because what they earn is what they earn.
The dollars would be set, and whatever they're authorized is, the way that it would matter is if they exceed it, they got to pay half of it back.
Well, the level does matter in terms of being that backstop. Because if it takes longer to reach the backstop if you've got a higher ROE.
Yeah, if you believe they're going to get to that backstop.
Right.
So.
Okay, well.
Patrick.
I'm dying to hear what it is.
You got a thought, Patrick?
It's way back on a previous discussion. So.
Well, I would be.
We're always interested. Throw your mic on, Pat.
It was in the discussion about ADPs and everything, and I was thinking when you were talking about ADPs, the commission decides not to issue an ADP. It doesn't, and the company could still go ahead and build the facility. And so what you do in that situation is then, at a rate case, I believe, then you determine what you were going to allow for that investment. What you're going to allow into the North Dakota rates if they go ahead with the investment. Also,
if they decline, but not if they say it's imprudent. If they say it's imprudent, you know, ADP, that's a different result.
Yes, right. Yeah. Okay. Right. And the other thing was,
fill adjustments.
Nope. Oh, I was concerned about in the settlement. Under this restacking provision, if there was a disagreement about the restacking and the commission went ahead with it and it did benefit the customers but did not benefit the company, can the company then go to court and say, this is a taking?
Yes, at some point, yes. And that applies to everything in that settlement. You know, I mean... They have the ultimate constitutional protection to assert that if they're impacted too greatly. Well, regardless of what they promised,
right.
Rate moratorium or anything,
I just was thinking that as that conversation was going on, but that's all I had to say.
Okay. I just had a fault. The whole charitable contribution, where did that fall out in the settlement agreement? I can't remember. Are those things all off the table now?
Yeah.
They're all off, right? Okay. Well, I guess if you're looking at my thoughts, is that initially I started out one way, and I go back the other way about getting this 1 year done with. But then the fact we're already into this second year, Jerry's argument is very compelling. That what's the point? You just got to do the best thing going forward now. But I do think if we're going to approve the multi-year, I like the same number for 4 years and holding on to that rebate. I think that's easier for people to understand. So is there any negative big flaws in that?
What?
It gives them you have to give another rate increase again. As it is, the way it's set up right now, you're looking at giving a rate increase the first of the year. You're doing something now, but then you have to give another increase
first of the year. Whether we do 5.5 and 0, or we do 4.8.
If you do 4.8, 4.8, 4.8, you have to announce another rate increase in another year.
You have to do that anyway.
No, this is the last rate increase you have to announce
at
the beginning of 2015. You will not have to announce another rate increase for 2016.
The question
you go through the process again of going to the press and telling people telling people they're getting a rate.
The question I have on this is because we've got three different kind of scenarios, I'll call them. Is one is what you put out yesterday, Commissioner Kalk, the 10,000.
Yeah.
What Commissioner Crispin's put out less for 4 years, and then what the company and advocacy staff put out, 5,550. I don't know if Pat or Jerry or somebody could look at those numbers and kind of pencil them out on what we have to see what the kind of net effect or ultimate effect of those would be, or how they match up with the revenue requirements to maybe have some more concrete information on, where we would be there. I don't know if I think we probably have the information to do that. But is that kind of what we're looking for as an answer to that question of happens if it's 4444, or what happens if it's...
Well, I think Julie's point is a very good one. About the requirements, the 5.5.5. I like Randy's point. You cross it out, but maybe back to that middle solution, if we do a three-year period with no customer refund, that might be the win-win there. Is that something that maybe, because right now it's 5.5.5 with a customer refund. If you go no customer refund, it would be something less than 5.5.5 for 3 years. But if they would buy off on that.
Because if we do the math, we could do this straight percentage math of, 5% of 100, then 5% of 105, then 5% of 110, and add it up and figure that out. But is that what kind of where the question lies, or is it more in what will the rate increase be per customer, or do you understand what I'm getting at? Because it's...
I think we, in kind of concluding what design... I'll speak for myself. When I concluded what design I like better, it was and I've never claimed to know what that number would be. It's because I have faith in our advocacy staff and our commission staff to work with the NSP staff that you'll come up with the real amount that would be equal to. Mm-hmm. And whatever that is, that's what I think is the better number. And so I think I'm comfortable. I'll want to hear the number first before we move this along.
That was kind of the purpose of my question, is if we're sitting here talking about getting more information, or if we're sitting here saying we want to go in this direction and need to get the information for that direction.
Well, I'm not sold on the 4 years, because it's 4 years of rate increases versus 3 years, and I think that's a big difference. I'd like to commit to the fewest number of consecutive increases at the lowest possible amount. And again, I'm not sold on the 5% on 2015. There's two riders in addition to these rates. The transmission rider, which covers a good chunk of their capital investments on the transmission side, and the renewable energy rider, which will cover, unless I'm mistaken, the Board of Winds project. And if you look at the chart, on 2015, they've got $10.3 million, the highest amount of revenue coming in, plus the two, no, this is in their filed stuff, plus the new riders. So I'd like to look at, have staff look at that with me and go through the revenue requirements and how they match up with that number and the riders that are coming on board at that time, and look and see if we can get it to 5540 or whatever. And then if it's different, you know, if that comes up with a different number and we want to look at whether it's 3.5, 3.5, 3.5, 3.5, but I still think 3 years is better than 4 years of a consecutive rate increase.
Do you have any thoughts about the interim rate, what to do with that? Are you opposed to keeping it, or do you have a thought there?
I don't have a thought on that. I mean, I kind of like giving it back because I think people move and then they don't get it. But, you know, I think if you're looking at rate making, it's give it back.
Talking about the intergenerational gap that...
Right.
Okay.
But...
Might I just point out one...
I wouldn't die on the sword over that one if it turns out that we need to, you know, it makes sense to keep
it. One more point on... Okay. Why I think spreading it out over 4 years is good, though. You know, we talk a lot about certainty for people. If you're the customer that's thinking of, you know, adding a heated garage or something like that and thinking about what kind of costs are going to be associated with it. So they experienced a 9% increase this year. And yeah, some of it's probably coming back either over the long term or in a refund. And then next year, it's probably going to be pretty close to the same. And then the next year, it's going to be up some. At this point, when someone's planning or thinking about making a move economically, the kind of thing that we want people to be doing, do you think anybody's thinking out and going, well, in 4 years, they're not going to raise it at all? No. They look at these things as whatever they're going up now is what they expect. It's going to keep going up. And I don't think most of the people are even going to believe that. It's not going to be an increase in the fourth year.
Okay. So other than the discussion we're having now about the four-year gap, is there anything else? If the settlement agreement was broke out over the way you wanted it for the 4 years, would you vote for approving the settlement? Is that the only sticking point you have right now is those four, or that how we break out those 4 years? Or is there something else?
You're talking about everything as a package.
Yep. So if we had, just say for the sake of discussion, if we had 3.5 for 4 years, would you support the settlement agreement? As a number for just 4 years spreading out.
I would be more likely to support it if it was done over four. I sure want to see what those numbers are before we're done.
Okay. But Julie, you're pretty dug in on the other one. But is there anything other than this that you would throw out?
The big concerns, no.
No. Okay. So then, just like this morning, I tended to go more with the portfolio holder on the grain elevator. I'll go back with the portfolio holder over here. So let's see if we can put together some numbers that say 5.5, some number. And if we can get to that, then I'll support that, and then we move on. So if you can get that to where you're comfortable with, it'll be your motion to bring forward. And then Randy will have to...
You know, I don't think it takes, supercomputers and a month of work to figure these things out. Could we also just, in order to have something to look at what the number would be if we spread the refunds over 4 years and spread the increases over 4 years in one package evenly?
I don't think that's a problem to look at it.
Okay.
But the problem will be is that the company will have to file, make one change. They can't submit both of them, right? You can put the numbers in there, but if we're going to change the settlement agreement or request the change in the settlement agreement, then it has to be one set of numbers. So how would we put that together?
Well, company could, if we got that far that quickly, they could file a set of alternatives if they found a set of alternatives acceptable. Before we get there, I wanted to ask if this assignment included further analysis with commission staff of those cost numbers in the trade secret document with anyone.
Yeah, because I'm not comfortable that I my conclusion is completely accurate. So I would like you guys to look at
that. I think that's a basic assumption that should also be involved in coming up with then the different alternatives.
Okay.
And I think the company can choose to have a couple alternatives, zero alternatives, or have a preference, and with advocacy staff, figure that out. They'll figure that out.
If after reviewing the numbers, you were to decide that in the third year they should have a less of an increase, lower increase than five, and you work, what if you work that number in to the calculation, but still end up with an across the 4 year even rate increase? Was that something that you'd support?
I still prefer a 3 year rate increase.
Okay.
With a zero at the end.
And that's where I'm at now as well. We'll figure out what that 3 year block is. Yeah, but Randy wants to see the 4 year spread. And then Julie and I want to see the 3 year spread.
Yeah, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what I'm hearing is any staff work together and evaluate Commissioner Christman's staff work together and evaluate Commissioner Fedorchuk's. And if you have ideas that you can put numbers to or other thoughts, I mean, I think you can add them into those calculations so everybody has as much information as necessary to maybe change their mind or reinforce their position.
Okay.
And we're going to get some language in on that study as well, clarifying that we have some influence over the study, right?
I would anticipate that if this comes back with an amended settlement agreement with or without alternatives, I would think, based on the hearing yesterday, the company advocacy staff would be willing to beef up the study language from what they said.
Okay. I think we covered a lot of ground today. So I'd say it's on them.
Well, it's on.
I mean,
it's on.
Right, but I mean, it's we're the. How about this? When's our first meeting in February?
I don't know.
We don't have. Surely nice if we get all this stuff wrapped up by our first meeting in February.
The 12th, Commissioner.
That sounds like a reasonable deadline to me, so we can vote in this sucker February 12th. Is it right? So we get the whatever comes back from the company, and then we tell me again what we have to do with that?
Well, you have to look at it, so you may want another work session or something.
Right, but do as far as the public notice periods that can tie things up.
I think we have to think about that. I don't know if there's enough difference here to have any notice or whatever, but...
Really, we're talking, at the end of the day, it's a very small difference in language.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely on the study, I don't think there's...
Off the top of my head, I believe if the public notice is required, it will be a 21-day notice. Assuming it's immaterial anyway, it would be a 21-day notice for somebody to request a hearing. And frankly, if there's going to actually be a hearing, I'm thinking it would occur within 21 days anyway. If there's a notice period,
so do you think that's what we definitely need that, or it's we might need that?
Too early to say.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let's do this. Could you give us some kind of update on this at our meeting next week?
Sure.
Just put that down for a discussion point to whoever wants to do it. Whether it's Alana Mitch, you got other stuff going on, maybe. But just give us where we're at, because it's Friday at 3 o'clock. I know the company is eager to move forward, as I think we are.
I know the next meeting is January 29th. I have another hearing that day. So.
But if Alana can just give us the update.
And we'll just add
Evan. Yep. Okay. Do you have anything else?
Nope. Thank you.
Anything else?
No closing comments.
All right, we'll close the work session. Thank you all.